Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together to complete that honey-do list, featuring answers to your questions and head-to-head tool challenges. Let's get started with the show with the Handy Guys, Brian and Paul.
All right, welcome to the Handy Guys, episode number 14. Has it been 14 episodes?
14 episodes.
Okay, so this episode is going to be on lawnmowers because we are now into spring. We're probably already a little late for some folks, but you know, in the north, you know, we're just getting out our lawnmowers.
That's right. I've mowed one time already.
Right.
Have you mowed yet?
I've mowed once.
All right.
And so we're thinking about lawnmowers, and we thought we'd do a show on how you get ready for the lawnmower season. What do you have to do to prepare your lawnmower? What kind of maintenance you need to think about this time of year to prepare the mower?
That's right, and the ongoing maintenance through the summer, and you know what to do with in the fall when you're done mowing as well.
Now, if your mower is working well, like I'm sure yours is, Brian, it's going to sound like
right.
It's going to start up on one start, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, my guess is there's a lot of folks that are frustrated getting that mower started, and it's probably taken them 4, 5, 6 times, right? And getting
frustrated, you know. Bringing the worst out in people.
So we want to talk about hopefully how you might avoid some of those problems. And, you know, it's not really that difficult. Most handy guys, handy gals could probably do it with just some of the tools from your toolkit.
That's right.
Okay, but before we get into that, let's give out our contact information.
Okay. You can call us anytime at area code 615-676-0877. Or use the contact link on our website at handyguyspodcast.com.
Yes, you can click on the link or you can email us at us@handyguyspodcast.com. You can Google Handy Guys and you'll find us.
That's right.
Top one or two hits. Now, I need to apologize for our last show. We had some technical difficulties. You may have heard some pops.
It didn't sound that bad to me after we got it ran through the cleanup filter and all that. So, but it was a little poppy.
There were some issues. Now, I will say, though, if you've heard some pops, some jingles, some dings, some taps, some swirls from previous shows, those are not technical difficulties. But, you know, Brian and I like to enjoy, one of our preferred drinks during during our shows. So you might hear some jingles, maybe some ice and clanking around. And, there you go, things like that. So now if you can guess what it is that we're drinking, do we have a freebie to hand out? No, we don't.
We don't. No freebies. None of those kind of freebies. Actually, I think I know a couple of our listeners may already know what we might be drinking. So,
well, we'll mention your name on the air if you can guess it. But let's just say that it comes from another country and it's very fine.
That's right.
So, okay, but so hopefully we will not make any jingles from this in this episode. So let's talk about lawnmower maintenance. And before we do, Brian, I know that you have some interesting experience with lawnmowers. You were telling me that, and we were both looking at researching lawnmowers. We found out that they're quite dangerous. It's a dangerous tool, even though we all have one. You know, it seems that you can go on YouTube, you find people that are drunk driving on their lawnmower.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun watching those YouTube videos.
And some people race their lawnmowers. They get them up to what, 60, 70 miles an hour?
The one article I read said 80 miles an hour on the salt flats.
Now, I wouldn't advise that you try to get your lawnmower running that fast. I'm sure you'll burn out the
engine. That in some movie too, where they were like racing these mowers around and stuff?
I'm not sure. I think Tool Time Tim was in a lawnmower race at one point.
Okay.
So, and they are dangerous. It's unfortunate people get their, run over. In fact, there was an interesting story about one fellow that accidentally ran over his foot. He was fortunate though that the blade didn't go all the way through his shoe. It just nicked his toe and it swelled, and he went and told his neighbor about it. He told his neighbor he had this accident this morning. He slipped and got under, and his toe is all bleeding and swollen. And he showed it to his neighbor, and he took a careful look at it. And he says, "Well, you need to sharpen your lawnmower blade."
Yeah, I guess it.
Because it didn't take the whole toe off, I guess.
I guess.
So,
I guess my worst experience with a mower is I did ride an old wheel horse rider mower with a sickle bar attachment that cuts off to the side. I did drive that into a pond one time as I was trimming the weeds around a pond. Got a little too close to the edge. Fortunately, I didn't flip it over and we were able to pull it out with another tractor. But that's about as bad as it gets for me.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you have all your feet and toes and hands. There is that other story that I heard about the gentleman who thought he would trim the hedges on his in his yard. And I guess he didn't have... some hedge clippers, so he decided he would get a helper. And they did you hear this? They lifted their lawnmower up. to cut the hedges. Well, of course, they lost their fingers in the process, and perhaps I think they were nominated for a Darwin Award as well.
Oh gosh!
All right. Well, let's talk about these things and how you maintain your lawnmower. Hopefully. Without injuring yourself, but why don't we head to a better place to do that? Let's head to the garage.
All right, let's go to the garage.
All right. All right, we're in the garage now, and we're looking at Brian's lawnmower, and we want to, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of lawnmowers, right, Brian? And
right.
We really can't address all of them, but let's just go over real briefly.
Briefly. I mean, we talked about real mowers on a previous show. Battery-operated reel or battery-assisted reel mowers, the old-fashioned reel mowers. You've got rider mowers, commercial-style walk-behinds, tractors, zero-turn riders. And then you've got electric mowers. And if you don't mind mowing with an extension cord and you've got a small lot, maybe that's a good option for you. But we're going to focus today on your push-behind gas mowers. And you have two basic types, your self-propelled push mower and your standard push mower. So what do we need to focus on if we're looking at purchasing a new push gas mower? There's you've got the two different types. So what's the consideration there?
The gas mileage?
Well, gas mileage, I don't know what the ratings are as far as number of hours on a tank or however right. they rate those. But
can we run them on French fry oil or bio fuels?
Biodiesel. I guess if you got a diesel John Deere tractor or an old Ford or something like that, maybe. But I would say if it's self-propelled, I used to have a self-propelled one that nothing would stop at it. I mean, it had the horsepower and it had the oomph, but it was too dang slow, and I couldn't walk behind it fast enough. And it weighed, I don't know how much, it seemed like 100 pounds. So I couldn't push it any faster, and it just wouldn't go fast enough. So I ended up getting rid of that and got one of these, what they call a personal pace type, right? So that the faster you walk, the faster the mower pulls itself along, and the right. slower you walk. But if you don't get a self-propelled, you're going to want to just get a lightweight
did you get
push mower.
Did you get that self-propelled in pastels? I mean, come on.
No.
Self-propelled. Can't you push your mower?
I've got some hills on my yard.
I've got some hills, too. But, you know, we need some exercise every once in a while. I mean, how many times do you get down to the gym? I mean,
every once in a while.
That's your exercise, pushing that baby around. All right. Well, I have a push mower that I've now had for 12 years. And I got it when I was renting a small house, duplex, and I had a very small yard, and I probably should have just gotten a real mower, right?
But, yeah, maybe.
But I researched a little bit, and I just couldn't find, if I was going to get a real mower, I wanted a quality mower. I thought, why not? I'll just buy a powered mower. And you know what? I figured I'd regret it, but I got the cheapest mower at the time that I could find at that big department store. Am I allowed to mention their name?
Yeah, mention their name.
Sears. It's a Craftsman mower.
Oh, you got a Craftsman.
Yes, I did. And I thought, you know what? It cost me $100. If it lasts for a couple of years while I'm still in this small property, it'd be okay. I won't lose any sleep over it if it breaks. Well, I've now had it for 12 years, 12 or 13 years. And I've done I've changed the oil once, and the blade I've changed once. I moved it from a traditional blade to a mulching blade. I've not changed the air filter on it because I kept thinking this thing's not going to last. I'm not putting any money into it. Well, it still runs 12 years later, and I've mowed a lot of grass with it. it just keeps on going. It's like the Energizer Bunny.
Is that an endorsement for a modern Craftsman mower?
No, you know, I won't. It's not an endorsement because the fact is, you know, if you get a Craftsman mower, you know, from year to year, you don't know, you know, they're different engines and different suppliers, right? You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, I could endorse it, but I'm endorsing a particular model that was made 12 years ago.
Right.
Who knows
what kind of engine does it have? Do you know?
It didn't even have, it's a Craftsman engine. So it doesn't
it's got to be like a Briggs & Stratton or a Tecumseh or something like that.
I understand that. And that may be the case. And most of them at the time, it said, you know, they would say Briggs & Stratton. But on this one, it just says Craftsman on the engine. It doesn't have. It's like plated a Craftsman. Yes. So believe me, it was the cheapest one they have. I mean, if you want a bag with this model, that didn't come with it. So you had to buy the bag, but it was one of those side baggers, you know, like right, in the right, 70s right. that stick out, you know, way on the side and have the arm that holds it. So it's very inconvenient. I've used it a couple times, but try to avoid it. Anyway, so let's talk about how do we maintain, you know, if you are to properly maintain. And if you spend a lot more than I did, $100 on a mower, you want it to run from year to year.
That's right.
So we're here in the garage and, you know, I'm looking at, what is this that I see here? This is a, what is this, your air filter?
That's right, my air filter. I'll tell you a story. I went to start the mower this year, and the dang thing would not start, and it was driving me nuts. It's one of these, and it says right on there, guaranteed to start first pull.
You paid too much for your mower, man.
And I was livid. Well, what had happened last year at the end of the season? I was mowing over some rough terrain behind the back of my house that I only mow once or twice a year, and the gas and the oil cap popped off, and I didn't realize it until a whole bunch of oil splashed out, and so I thought, oh crap. So I added some oil and continued mowing, and it never seemed to run right after that. And so I went to start it up this season, and it just wouldn't start. So I checked the oil and it was over full, and I checked the spark plug was black. And I checked the air filter. The air filter was full of gunk, probably from mowing that field. Mm. And all of those things fit in your normal spring kind of startup maintenance if you want to do regular spring maintenance.
Right.
Change your spark plug if it's necessary. Change your oil. Change your air filter or clean your air filter. Sharpen your blade. Clean up the mower under the deck. You know, get any of the clumped grass out from under there. And then, you know, reinstall your plug. And I did all of that.
And it's easy. You know, the spark plug is, it's not like in a car. You got to get in there and get the plugs and you need these special tools. The spark plug is usually exposed right there on the front of the mower.
That's right. I didn't even need a socket. I could just use a regular adjustable wrench. I took the spark plug out. And lo and behold, first pull started right up. I bought a little service kit for my Tecumseh engine. I think it was $14. It included oil. It included the plug, it included the filter, a new filter, and even some gas stabilizer, all in a little kit for $14, and it started first pull. I was pleasantly surprised.
Now, when you buy the parts for your mower, is it specific to your brand of mower, or can you go out and just get a general spark plug for a lawnmower? How does that work?
Yeah, different engines are going to have different kinds of spark plugs. So probably the best thing to do is to take the old spark plug off and go into your place that sells, you know, lawnmower parts.
Oh, okay.
And look up what the replacement is. Champion is one of the big brands, and usually it'll say right on the package, this replaces X, Y, and Z spark plugs, and you just find one that matches up and put it in.
Now, what would you recommend for buying these parts? What's the best place to go? Do you go to a big box store? Do you go to a lawnmower shop?
You know, I went to a big box store. I just happened to be there on my lunch break, and I just happened to see, hey, a kit made for my mower that had all the parts in it. So it was real easy to find that. If you have an older mower, you may have to, you know, get this kind of filter here and that kind of spark plug there. So maybe a better lawnmower place may have those parts separately.
Okay, so the key replaceable parts are the plug, spark plug, the air filter, right?
Yes.
And is there any other replaceable parts? Or
the oil.
The oil. And how often do you need to change the oil on these lawnmowers?
The manufacturer of my mower recommends once a year replacement of the oil. And so some of them have a drain plug underneath, and some of them you just tip over and pour it into a coffee can and take it to your recycling center, wherever you got to dispose of the stuff.
Yeah, I know on my Craftsman, the drain plug's on the bottom, so you have to find something. You can either get a cup or something right underneath the drain, or you're better off having a drain pan of some sort. And then do you just take the oil and what? Just flush it down the toilet?
No. I think I think you can take it to the gas station and they'll dispose of it properly for you.
Right, you can take it to the gas station. I know many areas also have disposal sites. Don't put it in the toilet or bury it in the yard or anything. You want to dispose of it properly.
It does do a good job at killing weeds, though, if they're coming up in the sidewalk in the cracks.
I'm sure it does, but you know, I'm sure a lot of chemicals would do, and you know, they also get into our groundwater system as well.
You can edit that out if you want to.
Okay, so those are the replaceable parts. Now, how about this, though? What if you lose your gas cap?
What if you lose your gas cap? I would imagine you can buy replacement gas caps, but I would imagine also every single manufacturer is going to be different.
That's what I was wondering, because, you know, I was talking to my dad just last week, and he took his gas cap up, refilled the tank, and he forgot to put it back on.
Oh, no.
And it must have fallen off or something, and he ran over it and shredded it. So, yeah, he asked me, where do you get a gas cap? I'm like, I don't know. You're not supposed to lose it. So I think you can probably find them at the big box stores, but certainly at a lawnmower center.
Yep.
You can get that. All right.
And then also, you know, while you're doing all this maintenance, you're going to want to sharpen the blade.
Yeah. And you also, when you get down, before we talk about the blade and you're looking at the underneath, you mentioned cleaning. It's amazing how much grass will get caked up in there.
That's right. And especially if you're mulching, the mulching relies on kind of the smooth innards of the underside of the deck. And you've got to, you know, if you clean that out, it's going to be a lot more effective in mulching.
Oh, that's a good point. Okay. So let's talk about the blade. Here we are in the garage, and you know, this is something that's a little bit, you know, you're a step up. You're not just replacing something. You got to have some, you know, some skill and some tools to sharpen a blade.
That's right. You can use either a grinder, you know, which is a power tool, a bench grinder, or you can use a file to sharpen your blade. And it's not like sharpening a knife or a chisel or a plane or something like that, planer blade, something like that. It's, you know, you don't need to be real particular with it. Just follow the angle of the old, you know, dull blade, and just follow that angle and put a nice sharp edge on it.
It's not like filing a chisel or something like that.
No.
Where you have to have exact bevel and, you
know. No, and then a micro bevel, yeah. And a back bevel and a, you know, all
don't
that,
the
whatever.
Dandelions care, you know what,
and you got to make it with it, what's the for the woodworkers that listen to this, scary sharp.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you don't need to get that crazy with it, but so here we are with the bench grinder and putting an edge on it. And
watch out for those sparks.
That's right. It's going to throw a little bit of sparks.
Now, Brian, you're sharpening that now, and you're sharpening my blade, by the way. Thank you very much. And I see that I have a mulching blade, so it has a lot of angles on it. Is that making it more difficult for you?
Yeah, it's definitely a pain in the butt. So you got to kind of turn the blade different angles and different ways to kind of get an edge on there. And but what's interesting is the mulching blade from my mower doesn't have that sort of winged or curve or bend to it. Even though they call it a mulching blade, it's the one that came with it, and it seems to work fine. So I'm not quite sure what the purpose is of the bend, but some have it and some don't.
Now tell me, why is it so important that I get this blade of mine sharpened? I mean, it was pretty dull, but you know, it was cutting grass, and
it was probably just beating the grass down is what it was doing. What happens, and you can tell if your mower blade is sharp or not by looking at the grass after you've cut it.
Don't stick your fingers in there.
No, look at the grass that, you know, the top of the grass after you've gone over it, and if it's shredded up, then it's a dull blade. If it's cut like it looks like shears have cut it, then it's a sharp blade. And what I've been told is that kind of shredded grass is more prone to disease and insects and so forth and so on, and it's not as healthy.
Okay, well, let's head... thank you for sharpening that, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Let's head back down to the studio.
All right.
All right, we're back here in the studio, and I just wanted to touch on a few things before we finish our show. You know, you have gasoline in these engines, and I'm always curious, you know, at the end of the season, do I just leave the gasoline in there? Do I have to do anything? Or at the beginning of a new season, if I have old gasoline,
right,
what do I do?
Well, I never use old gas. So if I have old gas that's been sitting in the garage all winter, I'll actually pour it into my pickup truck, and I'll use only fresh gas in my outdoor power equipment. My chainsaw manufacturer recommends 94-octane gas. So that's what I buy, and I use that in the mower, and I use that in the chainsaw, and in the weed whacker, and all of that kind of stuff.
That's liquid gold these days.
Oh, man, tell me about it. I just spent $20 to fill the gas can up. It's ridiculous. So... but at the end of the season, to answer your question, what I always do and what I was taught and what seems to work for me is I run my outdoor power equipment dry at the end of the season. So I'll drain off any gas that's in there, and then I'll start it up and let it run until it stalls out, and then I'll put it away.
So that's not damaging the equipment at all when you run it dry.
No, it's not. And in that way, then in the spring when I put my fresh gas in it, It starts right up, usually, unless I've done something stupid like overfill the oil, like I mentioned. But yeah, and I've never had a problem. I've heard an argument against that the innards of the carburetor and so forth, gaskets and things like that, will dry out. But I've never experienced any problems with that. Other people will put a product called Stable in their gas, and it's a
stabilizer for the gasoline.
Exactly. It's a stabilizer, and it prolongs the shelf life of the gasoline so it doesn't kind of gum up and go stale, and then they just leave the gas in all year long. And other people just don't do anything and have never had a problem, like you, right, Paul?
Well, I'm not sure I'm the poster boy of how to maintain a lawnmower, but it has continued to run. And, you know, one thing, usually the lawnmowers, I assume that they don't generally burn oil. I mean, you should probably check the level, but they don't really have dipsticks or anything.
Mine has a dipstick.
It does?
It does. Okay. And I check it every once in a while throughout the season just to make sure I got the right amount of oil in there. But one thing I found on the ones with the dipstick is you've got to check it after it's been sitting and not running for a while, and you check it there. If you check it after you've been mowing, there's oil splashed up all around there, and you'll never get an accurate reading, and that was the problem I had.
Sure. And the other thing is, I know, a safety tip is that you need to be careful refilling your fuel in your lawnmower if it's already been running and it's running hot. I know there are some stories of folks who have, spilled fuel on a hot engine and it catches on fire.
Yeah, if you spill oil, especially on the muffler. Gasoline on the muffler, and it's really hot, yes, you can have a fire.
So we don't want to do that. And so, you know, the basic safety obviously is required to run a lawnmower. Everyone runs it, and so you see kids running them, you think, oh, this is just like, running the vacuum, but obviously it's not. There's a lot more involved.
I mean, when we were kids, I mean, I was mowing the lawn at 8 years old, and these days you'd never see, you never see
that. I wasn't allowed to mow until I was like 16 or something like that.
Nah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to let my son run until he's 16 either.
I was right. Yeah. I was probably 10 years old when I drove that rider.
Well, there's
the
plenty
pond.
Of 10-year-olds without a foot, walking around or stumbling around, I should say. Anyway, all right. So be careful out there with your lawnmowers this season, and hopefully you'll be able to get it started up like this in one start.
That's
and,
right.
And you won't get frustrated, and you'll have a great year of mowing. Enjoy the season. Enjoy the grass. And if you have any questions about lawnmowers or any other tools, give us a ring at 615-676-0877.
Or contact us at handyguyspodcast.com or email us at handyguyspodcast.com.
Now, also, one last thing. If you want to call us, you will just be left with a voicemail prompt. Leave a message, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
We do promise. We get back to everybody.
All right. And until next week, our next week's show will also be on lawn care.
That's right. We're going to get into a little more details. What's the ideal height to cut your grass at? What kind of fertilizers to use or not to use? How to deal with a couple of different lawn problems and things like that. So we'll get to that show next week.
See you then.
Bye.